on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
You may be. Welcome along to another edition of the Orient Hour. We're joined in the studio by Trevor Singfield and Lee Boyce, and hopefully on the end of the phone line, the mystery man had a few problems last week, but hopefully his battery's fully charged. We should have Omar Reza. Good evening, Omar.
Good evening, yeah. How you doing, Andy? How you doing, gents?
We're
really
all right
about
now.
That last week. Those things. I do apologise.
That's all right. You had us panicking. We thought it was like the curse of Watford Football Club, because we were supposed to. What was his name? Luther. Luther was supposed to ring us the other week. Luther Blissett, and we're sitting there like lemons. And Luther didn't ring, but he did apologise. I was same thing, and something had come up. And anyway, we recorded the interview during the week. But yeah, it was crazy. And we thought, oh no, not the curse of Watford again.
Yeah, I was looking forward to coming back on having a chat, but it was just something that, you know, couldn't be helped.
Yeah, these things happen. You're here now, Omar. All good things are worth waiting for, as they say. And,
yeah, sure about that, but, yeah.
Anyway, first and foremost, how you been?
I've been really good, Andy, you know, working hard as you do, and you know, family life is good, and football life is good, and nice to see some of my old clubs doing well, and yeah, just getting on with it now.
Yeah, because I mean, you started out life with Arsenal, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. I've started playing at Arsenal from a young age, you know, from the age of 10, you know, become a pro there at the age of like 18, 19, and continued my career from then on.
Yeah, so you did. I mean, you didn't get into the first team there, but where did you make your first breakthrough?
I got my debut at Arsenal, but obviously I didn't play consistently. Then I went to West Ham, where I was on the bench for quite a lot of the 2 years I was there. Again, we had a very good squad. You know, when I was at West Ham, we had the likes of Rio and Frank and Joe and Jermaine Defoe and Canute and DiCanio and Michael Carrick, and we had such a great squad. It was tough to break into, but I'd say probably my breakthrough year was when I moved to Cambridge in League One. You know, we had a good season. I played up top with Dave Kitson. I think we scored like 40 goals between us, so it was that was probably where I had a lot of success before going abroad and playing in Turkey for 6-7 years.
Yeah, you grabbed a few goals there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was good. We had a good attacking line, you know. We had Shane Tudor. I think he came to Orient, Shane Tudor, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Shane Tudor. We had Tom Young, myself, Dave Kitson. Yeah, we had a good front line. I think we scored like 70-80 goals between us all. So it was a good season.
Yeah, I mean, so you went off to Turkey, didn't you? I mean, how different was that? I mean, I know you're a Turkish origin, but how different was that for you, football-wise, moving across to Turkey?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I'd gone abroad when I was at Arsenal to Den Haag on loan, so I had a little spell of going abroad for three, four months, which was okay, which I enjoyed. It was hard, you know. No one wants to leave home. No one wants to leave England when, you know, you've been brought up here and you're born here, and you know, you come through at, you know, top clubs in the country, and you got to, my old man always taught me I had to go where my boots took me at the end of the day. So I went out there. I didn't really speak the language, but I made a name for myself, you know, and I played at a very, very high level. When I was out there, I played at Arsenal with Nick Anelka. He came over to Fenerbahce, and Rigobert Song came over to Galatasaray. So I was playing against, you know, my old teammates, and you know, it was very good standard.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for your career. I mean, as I say, you grew as a person, I suppose. When you, the more places you travel to and the more countries you visit, you, I think it grows you as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely, you know, especially as a coach, you know, being able to see different cultures and different players and different styles. It definitely helped me to grow as a coach, which is something I never really intended to go into at a young age as a player. You know, I only started thinking about coaching when I was like 28. 29 years old, but having had all those experiences definitely made me a better person and better coach, definitely.
Yeah, because I mean, looking at you, you've had a mixed bag of experiences. I mean, you've had some good times, but you've had some rough times as well. And I mean, not least in Turkey. I mean, you know, was it Trabzon?
Yeah,
they didn't pay you, did they?
No, I mean, that was towards the end. I mean, listen, it's the same as everything. If someone wants to cause a problem or a club wants to cause a problem, they'll do what they need to do to cause a problem to a player. You know, this is the life of football. But it wasn't just me; there was other players. It was the whole squad that was in this situation, and it was, you know, something I weren't going to tolerate. And, you know, we ended up going down the route that it went down. But in general, you know, in Turkey, I had a good time out there.
Right, so you've come back now. When did you? Obviously, you were bombing around clubs like Shrewsbury, etc. When did you decide to take up the coaching and take that seriously and aim to be a coach?
So what happened was, obviously I went to Shrewsbury and I was banned for a while for the problems I had out in Turkey. And the only time I would be able to for the ban to be lifted was when a club signed me. So no one would sign me. So anyway, I ended up going to Shrewsbury and it got lifted eventually. But I never really found my feet the way I wanted to. And I weren't really given the opportunity that I needed to find my feet again there. Although I played in the playoff final against Gillingham at Wembley, we lost 1-0. I think Simeon Jackson scored. So I did manage to get myself into a level. It was okay, but obviously when I've been playing in Europe and playing at a very high level in Turkey at Trabzonspor, you know, dropping to League Two was mentally tough, and it was a different game to a certain extent, but I tried to find myself again, but it was crap. So then I ended up going to Histon, where I was player coach, as Dave Livermore went in as player manager, and I went in because me and Dave Livermore went to school together, and we've spent a lot of time together at Arsenal and at school. So I went in and started my coaching there, really, as a striker coach and playing at the same time. So that's where it really all started.
Yeah, I mean, knowing you, we sort of know each other, and I always thought, you know, you're one of them people who's mentally strong, really, because you've had quite a few, I think, kicks in the teeth along the way, and you've always tried to maintain that positivity that you'll get there in the end. I think we'll come to it in a minute, but I think you're reaping the rewards for that attitude. But how did you arrive at Orient? What happened there?
Orient, it was... So I'd done a player-manager role at Ryman North Club, and I got sacked by the owners the reason it was given at the time was they felt I was too good for their level, but they sacked me still. I ruptured my cruciate, and I was player-manager, and they wanted me to either take a pay cut because I'd ruptured my cruciate and I wasn't playing, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't think it was right. You know, my main role was to manage the club. So, you know, we ended up coming to a, you know, an amicable conclusion, and I ended up leaving. And my son was at Orient playing, and I was watching. I went down and watched, and Danny Webb was taking the 16s at the time, I think it was. And he asked me if I wanted to come in and coach. I was in the process of finishing my A licence, so I had all the qualifications. I thought, you know what, maybe it's time just to delve into academy football. Because I always wanted to be a senior manager, and I thought I'd go the hard route, do my hard yards, start it down at the, you know, Ryman North or whatever it was, whatever opportunity was given, and work my way up. Which I've always done that as a player, and I intend to do it as a coach. So, I was there, and yeah, I got the opportunity, started taking the 15-16s, and then it just developed from there, really.
Now, you was at the club at a pretty crazy time. I think as crazy time in its history would be the politest way of putting it, I think. What are your outstanding memories of that time?
Well, you know, first off, there were some real good people there. You know, Andy Edwards, who's now at England, Richard Thomas, who was with me at Watford, but he's moved on to pastures new. And then they created a really good environment, you know, and that was one thing. That the academy that we sort of all helped create was excellent, and the players that's come out of it was just superb, and there's still some there, like, you know, Dan App and Ruel and a few others to name, and there's boys out now all playing in the leagues, all come through that sort of that method and that structure. So that's one proud moment. But probably, you know, taking the team at its toughest point and having to tell senior players that what they're doing was wrong at the time, in order to allow the youngsters to get the opportunity to play, and the results that we had, although we were very young, I think we done okay, you know. We were never going to win all our games, but the aim was to keep the boys buoyant, not allow people within the club to destroy it in a way that they thought was right, which wasn't, you know, to cause mayhem on top of mayhem possibly weren't the right way to go. And that was what I felt. And I felt, you know, what we needed to do as players and staff, which was whether we got paid or not, which we didn't. We got paid at the end, but we didn't get paid during, was to do our jobs professionally. And I always maintain that I've done that. And no one can ever say any different.
Omar, carrying on from that, I think every Orient fan's going to turn around and say, like, thank you for sticking with the job and getting us through them last few months. I mean, it's a lot of people jumped ship and went different ways for whatever reasons, but like, you stayed and looked after the young boys, got us over the line. Colchester, last home game. What's your recollections of that?
Really tough, because it was like, you know, the fans were really, you know, angry, and you know, they done the right thing. I was being told by the opposition staff and being dictated to, and you know, I know I got a little bit of stick from that from the fans, because I was having to talk to the fans and say, look, let's get everyone out and off, and we ended up finishing the game, and it was real tough. But it was the right thing to do in respect of where Colchester was. I think they were in a playoff position at the time, and we were in the position that we were in, and you know, and it was about damage limitation, you know, not taking a fine, because we could have had a hefty fine. And, you know, the boys had to go back out on the pitch and finish off the last 8 minutes or whatever it was. And it was tough, but it wasn't as if it was my decision. It was what it was, and it had to be fulfilled, the fixture, and it did. So, it was tough, but again, I felt I dealt with it in the correct manner.
I think, well, quite a few of us think that the actual finishing the game was better, because it highlighted the AFL's incompetence in making decisions and backtracking on things they say. And I think it actually was a better result for us at the end of the day, that it was played out in the last 8 minutes in the manner it was. But
right, yeah. I mean, I didn't even look into that at the end. You probably know more about that than me, you guys. But again, for me, it was always about being professional. I've always been professional. The only times I've ever caused a problem is if I felt someone has been unfair and unjustly treating, either it's me or myself or anybody else, and I'll step in and I'll make sure that, you know, I will say what I need to say or do what I need to do. That's always been the way I've been, and I don't think I'll ever change that.
I think most of us felt that you deserved to be retained in at least some form by the club, mm-hmm. and they didn't retain you after the takeover. I mean, was that a surprise?
In all honesty, Andy, I think I wanted the club to be out of trouble as much as I could. I wanted to, you know, I've been at the club a few years or a couple of years, and I wanted good for the club, and I think I had potential people that maybe could have come in and tried to buy the club. And they actually came into the position to say, right, you know what, I want to know what the structure of the club is. I might be interested in buying the club. But I think it was already so far down the line that people within the club didn't want anyone else to buy the club other than the people that have bought the club, which, by the way, have done a great job. Nigel Travis and Kent Teague, you know, take our hats off to them, and they've been great owners, and hopefully they will continue to support the way they are, and the club will continue to develop and kick on with the new manager, which they're bringing, Kenny Jackett, who, you know, has got a wealth of experience, and hopefully that will be, you know, that will be really good for the club. But at the time, my thoughts were, you know what, if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, if there's somebody else there that can, which there was, you know, they've asked me a question. Someone that I know who's been in the game a long time asked me a question and said, look, I've got somebody who may be interested. I then got that for those people to talk with the owner at the time. And I don't know within the club whether people, you know, whether it be whoever whoever came into the club thereafter possibly didn't want me around because of that. But my intentions all the time was for the good of the club, not for anything else. So, you know.
So when you went, obviously, you did have a, I think it's fair to say, you did have a difficult few months, and you kept positive. You kept saying, I'll get there in the end, I'll get there in the end. And I think you're reaping those rewards now. I mean, you're doing a great job at Watford.
Yeah, I mean, coming back to that, I mean, I didn't even apply for the manager's job. Everyone was saying, you know, I didn't want to talk, obviously. I didn't even go and apply for it. I was saying I thought I wanted to be back in the club in some capacity, maybe to assist or to be, even if it weren't to assist, to at least go back to my job where I'm working the 18s. So I had some, you know, some role with the youth team until something else happened. You never know. But like I said, it got to the point where they might have thought, you know what, he's tried to get us out of the club. And it could have worked. But that wasn't the case. The case was all I care about is new people coming in, whoever it is, and me continuing. But that wasn't the case. And like you say, I had a real tough time. I think I applied for 200 odd jobs. And that weren't just in football. That was non-league. That was professional. That was college football. I was even thinking of going into going into something else, open up my own like academy outside of football. And I just couldn't, you know, it was a real tough time.
That says so much about you, Omar. 200 applications, and you kept going and kept believing. And I think we all take our hats off to you there. I mean, because that's a real mark of a man, that is to keep going and know that you've got faith in yourself. I think that's an unbelievable number of applications for somebody with, you know, you had a track record as well. I mean, that's unbelievable that you're putting that many applications to find a job. But I'll say you've even been involved with the international scene now.
Yeah, so with the Watford one, it was, I couldn't find a job, and I actually applied for a part-time job again. I think it was on £30 an hour at Watford with the 15-16s, and I thought, you know what, I'm not too big to go and do this. It's coaching, it's the youngsters, and I will try and find my feet and get to where I feel I'm going to get to. And so I went there, and it developed from there again. It went part-time like it was at Orient, and then it went leading the 15-16s, then it went from leading the 15-16s to assisting at 23s, and now leading at 23s alongside the England 17s. So, yeah, I suppose, and now I'm on my pro licence, getting that done. So, yeah, I'm in a good place, and it's been hard work, and I'll always continue to work hard, because it's just the way I've been brought up, I suppose.
So how did you get involved with the England squad?
So with the England stuff, I was actually part-time with Watford at the time. It was just as I'd gone in. And an opportunity had gone in. They were doing this ethnic minority coaching for coaches with ethnic minority backgrounds, I come under that banner. So I went in and started assisting the first year, and then they liked what I did, and then I've stayed there ever since. I've been there for 3 years. And I think now England obviously have to pay my club an amount to be able to have me go into England and coach and be part of the under-17s group,
yeah,
alongside my Watford job. So, it's been really good. It's been hard, but been worthwhile, you know.
Well, you absolutely, I think, Lee, if anyone deserves to have international recognition in coaching and coaching in a Premier League football club, it's Omar off the 200 applications, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, I agree with everything Andy said there, Omar, and wish you all the best for the future, like, in the game. And if you're staying at Watford, have you still got the Orient boys there? A few Orient boys, they still there? Or
sorry, say that again.
Have you still got a few of the Orient boys at Watford?
No, a couple of them. So Teddy left. Teddy Perkins left this year. Toby left this year. So they're off to pastures new. Sam Dalby left this year, actually. So yeah, we try and look after the boys and give them the continuation in their their development. But there does come a time when, you know, they got to start looking for first team football if they're not going to get it at the club that they're at. So, which is what's happened with those boys. But I'm in contact with them. I always will be. I'm in contact with all the other lads as well whenever I can and whenever they need me. So it's been good in that sense.
Well, all we can do, Omar, is say thanks for joining us tonight, and all the best, mate. Because you thoroughly deserve it. You're a top man. We know you. You've got the right attitude and everything else. And we're really glad that things are turning out better for you. So all the best to you and your family. Thanks for joining us, and we'll speak soon, mate.
Thank you all, and take care, and have a great show.
Cheers. Bye, Omar.
Take care. Bye, bye, bye.
Well, that was Omar Reza, and what a top guy. I think we've got another phone line going. I think we've got, have we got Julian on the line?
Hello.
Yes, right. Well, hold fire, Julian Lillington, because this is live radio for you. We've got the quiz coming up now, and our quiz master is Trevor Singville. I'll pass over to in a moment, and he'll tell you what you've got to do and the rules and everything else. And what we've got is we've got four contestants lined up to ring in live tonight. Julian, the ladder Lillington, is the first contestant up, and we should have had an organ like the Sail of the Century used to have. From Norwich, it's the Quiz of the Week, but from Brentwood, it's the Quiz of the O's. But we've got, this is live radio, we're going to wing our way through this. As Trevor's got some questions, all prepared by Martin Strong, who did a great job for us a few months ago, and we've held back this competition. But Trev, over to you, my friend.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and just a quick synopsis of what it's all about. Our contestants will get 10 questions each, and they will be expected to answer rather quickly so they're not cheating. And after 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to take the 4 with the most correct answers. We'll go through to the grand final as such. So good evening, Julian, and welcome to the Aura Now. How are you?
Good evening, everybody.
Right, just
nice
a little.
To hear you.
Yeah, just let us know. Let us know how long you've been following the O's and your first game, and which stand you watched the game from. If you're not digging the pitchfork.
Yeah, I think my first game was about 1974. I think it was Blackpool at home, a very boring 0-0 draw. So I was hooked from that day, and nothing much has changed.
Very good. Well, what you've got to do for me now is you've got to choose a list of questions between 1 and 4, and I'll wish you the very best of luck, and hope you're better at the quiz than you are taking penalties on the pitch.
I'll have number 3, please.
Okay, number 3 for Julian. Right, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, which team finished second to the O's in the National League season 2018-19?
Solihull Moors.
Yeah, that's correct. Which team did we defeat in the 1925-26 season in the FA Cup 2-0, in which was one of the O's first joint killings?
Aston Villa.
Incorrect. So we go to number 3. Two players scored league hat-tricks in our promotion season in 1988-89. One was Mark Cooper, and who was the other player?
Lee Harvey.
No, incorrect again. It was Alan Hole versus Colchester. Our leading goal scorer in the 1976-77 season only scored 6 goals. Who was he?
Oh, Gerry Quine.
No, it was Laurie Cunningham. Come on. How many league games did we win in our only season in the top flight?
3.
Incorrect again. 6. You had little faith in 62-63. Okay, Alberto Cavazzin was manager for how many days? You get a choice here, Julian. Was it 21, 25, 49 or 60?
21.
No, incorrect again. Number 7, which player who played for the O's between 1964 and 1966 later went on to score the winning goal in the FA Cup final 4 years later?
4 years later, 70.
You got the correct year.
Oh. Dave Webb.
Yeah, excellent. You got that one right. Number 8. Who was our leading goal scorer with 11 goals in the 1986-87 season?
Alan Comfort.
Yes, correct again. In which year was the Old Supporters Club on the corner of Brisbane Road first opened? You've got a choice here again of 1974, 1976, 1978 or 1980?
1978.
Is correct again. A good run here. Against which team did we play our first league game against in 1905?
Leicester
Fossey.
Yes, that's your conclusion there, Julian. And Lee, how many did he get?
Five. Impressive.
Five
comeback.
Out of ten. Yeah, he done well in the latter half there. Thank you, Julian, and we may speak to you again in the final.
Can we just go through what the ones he got wrong, what the right answers were, or we're not going to find out?
Well, I did say that the number two, Newcastle United, was our first joint clean act. Then I gave the rest of the answers on the other one.
Did you? I missed it. I was out of the room. Well, thanks. Thank you, Julian, for ringing in, and we'll catch up with you soon, mate.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Up the O's. he's a character, isn't he? He's a character. And I think we got somebody else on the line. I think they're all queuing up to ring in here. And who we got on the line this time?
You've got Trevor Joel.
Ah, Mr. Joel. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. Fine.
And right, we're going to pass you over to this is like a black cab evening here, isn't it? The taxi driver.
We're a rank round in Brentwood. We've got Julia Lillington, me, Trev.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, we could have got a lift home here, Boise, couldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
You wouldn't go south of the river this time of the night, Trev, I can see you. All the old gags. Right, I'll pass you over to our quizmaster, Trevor.
Good evening, Trevor, how are you?
How you doing, Trev? You all right, mate? Fine,
thank you. Good. Just a few little things to let the listeners know what you've been up to. How long you followed the O's?
Oh, dear, this is going to be... I started watching them. My dad took me over there against Bristol City at home in 1972.
Wow, that's a good one there. So you've answered the second question of your first game.
Sorry, mate. Yeah.
What stand do you watch the O's from?
Yeah, I was watching it from the East Stand. I remember I sat right in the back row.
Good stuff.
In the back row there. Yeah.
Good stuff. Right, so you've got a choice of a list of questions. We've got one, two and four left.
Okay, I'll go on two.
Because we didn't need no cabbie preference here, so we've done that. So, are you ready, Trevor? So, roughly the same time. If you were listening to Julian's questions, it's all much of the same. Right.
Yep.
Number one, how many league games did the O's lose in the promotion winning season in the National League?
Seven.
Correct. Well done. Number two, who were the only team we defeated during the 1978 FA Cup run who were not from the First Division?
Blackburn Rovers.
Yes, two out of two. Well done. Number three, who scored a hat-trick for the O's against Bury in March 1992?
92. Is it Kevin Godfrey?
No, it wasn't. It was Greg Bury.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. How many goals did the O's score in the league in 1974-75? You get a choice here. Was it 26... 28, 30, 32 or 34?
30.
No, it was 28. A very barren season for the O's. Okay. How many points did the O's win in their only season in the top flight in 62-63? Yet again, we get a choice. Was it 16, 18, 19, 21 or 23?
16.
No, we got 21.
Okay.
But it was 2 points for a win as well, so...
Oh, dear.
Even though we were 10 points from safety. Okay, who managed the O's 3 times during the 1950s?
Was it Alex Stock?
It's the correct answer, well done. Okay, number seven. Which player scored 3 of his 5 goals in total for the O's during 134 league appearances in just one game versus Peterborough during the 1994-95 season? Another hat-trick.
94-95 season?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We're going to have to take an answer.
Sorry. No, don't know it. I know it was a Barnet boy.
It was Mark Warren.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Now, in our promotion winning season of 1988-89, we did not win a league game to our sixth match. Which team did we defeat that day?
Was it Doncaster?
No, it began with a D. It was Darlington. We beat them 1-0. The seats were installed in the West Stand for the first time in which season? We get a choice. Was it 75-76 season, 77-78, 78-79 or the 1980-81 season?
the semi-final of the FA Cup. I think it was 78-79.
Is the correct answer. Well done.
Yeah.
So last question for you. Which trophy did the Odes win? We haven't won many. So in 1911-12 season, and we won it again in 1971-72 and 72-73.
Was it the Texaco Cup?
No, it wasn't. It was the London Challenge Cup. I think we played Dagenham in 71-72 or there something. Trevor, you've scored 4 out of 10.
Okay.
Thank you for taking part in this.
No problems at all.
Look after yourself, mate. I may see you on the rank one day.
Cheers. Right. Cheers. Thanks, Trev. Bye. Bye now.
Thanks a lot. Bye, bye.
That was Trevor Joel. And so he scored 4, did he? I thought he got more than that. I was sitting there thinking he's doing quite well. Okay, he got 4.
He had a very good start, didn't he? So
and Lidlinson got how many?
5.
So at the moment, Julian's in front with the 5 points. Not too bad. And we've got 2 more competitors tonight. I think we've got Jamie Stripe and Ian Richardson hopefully ringing in soon. And in the meantime, Lee, it's been a busy week again at the O's. Well, I'll actually stop you there because the phone is flashing. They're on the ball, these listeners, aren't they?
They're very keen to come to the Orient Hour quiz, Andy.
They can't wait to speak to you, Trevor. And it should be our old mucker, Jamie Stripe. No favouritism. He has not, I can repeat, despite the post-dated check he sent us, he has not been sent the answers. Good evening, Jamie.
Hello, mate. That check's probably bounced all the way to Brentford.
Yeah, £50 doesn't go a long way, mate, and certainly not one that's dated for 3 months' time. So it's it's all right. I'm going to pass you over to our good friend Trevor Singfield.
Hello, Jamie. How are you tonight?
All right, thanks, Trevor.
That's
nice
good.
To hear your voice.
Yeah, and it's good to hear yours too. So just to let the listeners know, they probably know a bit about you because you're on the show. How long have you followed the O's and your first game?
Right, well, last season I completed 40 seasons watching the O's, but my first game was against Newcastle United in 1979 and we won 2-0. Mm. And it was Peter Kitchen's last goal before he got transferred, which is just goes to show that I'm a jinx.
Well, that's it. I mean, your information is quite good. You may do quite well at this. And which stand do you normally sit in at the O's?
I'm in the East Stand Moaners at the moment.
Oh, okay, yeah. They're quite well known, aren't they?
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Okay, so you've got a choice of 2 lists of questions. I've got number 1 and number 4 left. So it's there was no favouritism for the taxi drivers. I was getting a bit of stick for that. But,
I'll have questions from number 4, please.
Okay, number 4, right. Are you ready?
Yep, let's go.
Okay, according to official figures, against what team did we have our best away support in a single game in our National League winning season, taking 1,421 fans that day?
Oh, crikey. Off the top of my head, I'd probably say Sutton.
No, it was Dagenham Redbridge on Boxing Day.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. Okay, what season did the O's first enter the FA Cup? You get a choice. Was it 1904-5, 1905-6, 1906-7 or 1907-8 seasons?
1905-6.
Oh, no, it was the year before, and we started off against Enfield in a qualifying game.
Ouch.
Yeah. Now, you may like this one. In our relegation season of 1984-5, we defeated Bolton Wanderers at home, having been 3-1 down. Which O's player scored a hat-trick that day?
Kevin Godfrey.
It's correct. We won the third division title in 1970. Who finished runners-up?
Luton Town.
Excellent. Well done. What team was relegated to Division 2 with the Orient at the end of the 62-63 season?
Manchester City.
Correct. Who was appointed caretaker manager at the O's between October and November 1996?
Tommy Cunningham.
Is correct again. How many goals did Mickey Bullock score for the O's in his 297th appearance? We've got a choice. Is it 49, 59, 69, 79 or 89?
69.
Is correct. In our League Cup match away to Everton in 1989, Danny Carter scored a wonderful goal for us in the 2-2 draw. Who got the second goal?
Jeff Pike.
Correct. In which year was the old supporters club closed to be demolished as part of the stadium redevelopment? You've got a choice here of the year 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003 or 2004?
2004.
Correct. He's on a brilliant roll. And your final question. In what year did we officially change our name from Clapton Orient to Leighton Orient?
1937.
No, it was
1946. Ooh, ouch.
Well done. Jamie, you have done seven, so you actually, you've got one foot in the finals, you'll be saying.
Ooh.
Well done.
Blimey, success at last.
Yeah,
well. You did well there, Jamie, you're seven. That's not bad, is it? That's. I mean, Trevor looks impressed, and well, I mean, that check. I don't know if I should put it in now. I mean, after you got 7 out of 10. Anyway, just while we've got you on the line, what do you make of the signings, Jamie?
Yeah, good. Sounds all right. Excited about the young lad from QPR. I think I've heard good things about him. Apparently, quite rated at Accrington Stanley, which is good. And the big lad from Ipswich. So I'm glad to get a good. Few forwards in the building, so the squad's beginning to take shape. We could do with a couple more, but yeah, everything's looking okay, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Lee and myself were talking earlier, and we said that we've both heard of the QPR lad Smith, but we didn't know a lot about the Ipswich boy, did we?
No, I must admit, I asked an Ipswich fan at work, and he didn't really like fill me in with any more information than you've got. It seems a bit of a wild card, but. From what I've heard, he's like a big lump who can do a job for us, hopefully. So it gives us another weapon in our armoury as we try and get out of this division. So, yeah, it seems well and good. Like I said, we need a couple more forwards and a few more wide men, and I think we'd be ready to roll.
I actually worked with an Ipswich fan, and I asked him, and he didn't even know who he was. So I won't go by a lot of what Ipswich fans think.
But, yeah, I mean, do you think we need a... I mean, it's silly to say a name, but do we need a recognised, known signing, Jamie, to just give it that lift?
I think, yeah, well, I'm sure there's something in the pipeline, but, yeah, if we get a recognised striker at League Two level or, you know, who's good for 15 or 20 goals a season, I think that would give everyone a real, like, give the whole thing an impetus, wouldn't it, really? It'd get the support really G'd up for the new season. So, yeah, you know, anyone like that coming in, it's like, I'll be well happy with that.
And your own view on the Vigouroux situation?
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because, you know, the longer it goes on, it's like, you know, is he going to sign? You know, is he hanging out for extra money? I don't know. I mean, to be quite honest, I'd like to see him stay. But it is odd. I mean, unless he's, like, trying to hang out for... like a backup keeper in the Championship. I mean, if he just takes another League Two club, I mean, it's just a sideways move for him, isn't it?
I mean, I understand the people who say, look, it's a guy looking for the best deal for his, you know, for his wages, for a job. But, you know, there's a job and there's a career. And, you know, I think they're two different things. You know, if you're looking at it as a job or you're going to look at it as a career, build a career with a club, get a name for yourself and then get that move, I think my personal view is that you make the ultimatum. Are you signing or are you off? And, you know, we want a decision.
Yeah. And the only thing I'd say is, you know, decent keepers are, you know, not that easy to come across. I think they probably made that ultimatum if they were more or less certain of getting a decent replacement. At the moment, there's still a lot of players out there looking for better deals at clubs, you know, but and I think unless we can actually land a decent keeper to replace Viggs, I'd still try and keep him if possible. But like I said, it's all up in the air with contractors. There's lots going on with agents, so let's have to wait and see what happens.
Well, I think his contract runs out today, I believe, 30th of June, so I'm sure an announcement will be made in the next couple of days. But I think when we interviewed Brophy and Ross Embleton the other week, they said even when he was at Swindon, he kept everything close to his chest. You never knew. No one knew what he was going to do, and he ended up turning up in Chile. Was it Chile he turned up in?
Mm.
So, yeah, who knows? Yeah. Who knows what he's going to do?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, he could even be like trying to sneak and move abroad, couldn't he? But, you know, like, time is ticking in a way, because we've really got to, you know, we've got pre-season looming large. We've really got to have at least two keepers on the books that, you know, we can start off with and like try things out. So I think you're right. I think that we might hear something, if not tomorrow, by the end of the week, and then hopefully we can move forward with that.
Oh, sorry, I thought Trevor was going to say something. He's warming his vocals up for the next contestant. All right, Jamie, we'll bail you out, my friend, and no doubt we'll see you in the next week or two.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks, guys. Good luck with the rest of the show.
Ta-da. Bye now. Right, that's Jamie Stryber, of course. So we will have one more competitor tonight, God willing, and it should be Ian Richardson, who will be ringing in. I think I don't know in this weather whether they got any cricket played, but he was supposed to be playing cricket for the Orient Supporters Club today, I think. But looking at the weather out there, I doubt too much cricket got played. I might be wrong, but they may have done so. Hence, we put him last because if there was a game on, he was going to finish a little bit late. So who knows? And hopefully we'll get Ian. The light will be flashing on the phone in the not-too-distant future, and we'll put Ian in as the fourth contestant tonight. But just to carry on where we were, guys, I mean, with these signings, Lee, what do you think of them so far?
Oh, impressed. There's been some good signings, experienced signings, some young signings. The fact that we've ticked them over and brought them in, I think we've got 18, 19 players now to start pre-season, which is a good starting point. I'd have thought there'd probably be four or five more before the window closes. When's that, end of August, whatever. But yeah, I'm impressed. I mean, I echo what Jamie said. I've heard good things about. Is his name Smythe, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, Smythe.
Smythe, yeah, you called him Smith earlier. Who's that? We signed another player.
Paul Smythe.
And heard good things about him. Looking forward to seeing him. I think, I've got a little sneaky feeling he's going to be the new Macaulay Bond. So that's a...
Well, I hope you're right. I think everybody would hope you're right there. But, and of course, Macaulay got to move to Ipswich, didn't he?
Yeah, back where it all started for him.
Yeah, merry-go-round, isn't it? Yep. It goes round and round. But do you think the club will be reliant on a lot of loans this season, or do you think they're going to just sign on contract these players?
I think we'll have a basis of a squad that we're building on for the next couple of years. But, yeah, loan signings are always going to be important additions to the squad. So, but I wouldn't have thought we'd be doing anything like that until sort of September time.
Now, of course, they've added some pre-season friendly since we were last here. And Tottenham's just been added to the list, hasn't it?
The Justin Edinburgh Cup.
Yeah, it's a nice one, isn't it?
Let's try and retain it.
But I mean, it's a good one that the ties. I think what's happened here is the club has repaired bridges with West Ham. I think behind the scenes, which, you know, when you're in our position now, we were the League Two side, they were the Premier League side. I mean, they're of more benefit to us than we are to them. So, in a way, I mean, you say it's mutual. You're getting a bit of experience, but we can use their better players, if you like. You know,
that's beneficial for them tonight.
Yeah, like I said, it's a two-way thing.
Like Tunji, I know they've released him this season, but Tunji's got a lot out of that loan. And for them to send like younger players out to loan to Orient, which is just down the road, the players ain't got to relocate, that's a big plus for them.
Yeah, so I mean, it wasn't going to happen before, was it? Because the relationship between the two sides had deteriorated severely over the Olympic stadium.
Well, we all know
Olympic stadium.
Karen Brady and Barry Earn, and she wouldn't deal with Orient because of that. But that's what, 8 years ago?
Mm.
8 years ago now? Or 7 years ago? So that should have been sorted out a long time ago, shouldn't it? Like, you know, I mean, I think they did start doing little talks with them when the previous owner was there, but that didn't last long, and...
Mm. Well, Barry's good friends with both Gold and Sullivan, isn't he? So, I mean, that shouldn't have really...
Yeah, but Karen Brady calls the shots.
So, I mean, you shouldn't have really deteriorated that
Brady,
way. Yeah. I don't know. I've never upset Karen Brady. Well, I don't think I have anyway, but I've only seen her once. Didn't upset her, though, but when that was the case. But, yeah, I'd say they obviously burnt a few bridges, but it's been repaired with West Ham. So there's a better relationship there. And, of course, I think Martin Ling's a West Ham fan as well, so that should help things in the negotiations of anything. And you've got the Spurs relationship. It's been a good one, and it's getting better and better, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, we've had that for the last few years, haven't we? We've benefited out of it, but yeah, like I said, having both of them is great for us and great for them, and hopefully we'll get a few more decent players out of them. Another Harry Kane won't go amiss.
No. It'd be a good one. But so, I mean, yeah, they put these friendlies in. And of course, we've got the problem with the Scottish run where, unfortunately, I expect Julian will still turn up with his ladder. But at the moment, it doesn't look like anybody will be allowed in the away fans in Scotland.
We was looking at that, weren't we, Trev? Like, you know, we was having a look at that. And I think there is a few fans going up there, to be fair, from what I've heard. There is a few Orient fans going up there, so good luck to them. But
well, they sent 20,000 Scots down to Wembley, didn't they?
Yeah, 2,000 of them tested positive for COVID.
For Carling or COVID?
Not for Carling.
Oh.
I've never seen a Scotsman drink Carling.
Oh, whatever it was.
More tenants in Scotland,
tenants,
isn't it?
Yeah, tenants.
No, it is a shame, the first time we get to play a Scottish team, probably since the Anglo-Scottish Cup, that fans can't be attending. But, yeah, good luck if one or two are sneaking in. But, you know, you are breaking a rule, so you might have to pay the consequences if somebody pulls you out, isn't it, you know? But, yeah very disappointed because that was right up Mar Street, that one.
OK, right. Well, hopefully, if he's played any cricket today, he'll tell us. But on the end of the line is our fourth contestant tonight, Ian Richardson. Good evening, Ian.
Hello, Andy. How you doing, mate? All right?
I'm all right. Did you play cricket today?
We did, but we only finished about 15 minutes ago.
So and come on, what was the score?
We lost by about 80 runs.
Oh, close then.
it's just standard.
Standard defeat, was it this week? I mean, how many did you get? What did you get?
I was one not out at the end.
Oh, I thought you batted higher than that. What number do you come in at?
10 today.
Your number?
I had a bowl, though.
Oh, right, because you dropped down the order. You used to be about 5, didn't you?
Yeah. Do you want to? maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago, yeah.
But, dear.
These days, I have a little bowl, and they let me have a little bat at the end sometimes.
Good. I'm going to pass you over to our quiz master, Mr. Trevor Singfield.
Hello, Ian. Nice to hear about your cricket career there. So you can tell us a bit about yourself.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah. you can tell us a bit about yourself following the O's. When was your first game?
Oh, blimey. First game was Brighton at home, 1977. I want to say.
Yeah, that's not a bad effort.
It's the old Braces FA Cup semi-final season.
Yeah, there you go.
When lots of 10-year-olds from Wanstead and Ilford fell in love with the O's.
And that's why we all have the braces, isn't it?
Is he standing next to a clock or something? There's a ticking noise next to you. You've got a bomb there, everyone. What's that noise?
There's no clock. I'm sitting in a field in a lovely place called Bayford in Hartford. No clocks, lots of birds.
We won't ask. We won't go there. Don't go there.
Sure. Okay, then, just one final question before you get down to the real questions. Where do you watch the O's from? What stand do you sit in?
We're in the south stand.
Okay, so you're one of the rowdy mob down there. That's good that we are. Well, as you are the fourth contestant, you get the choice of the list of questions. You've got number one. As you've been playing cricket, currently we've got Trevor Joel got 4 out of 10, right. Julian Linnington got 5 out of 10, and okay. Jamie Stripe has appeared as leader with 7 out of 10. So the that's the benchmark of what you got to a
themed company.
Yes, no, Stephanie. So, are you ready to?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Good on you, mate. Okay, so number one, who scored the O's last goal in the National League promotion winning season?
So, that would have been the last goal would have been Harrogate.
Yes.
So, second goal that game was Matt Harrell.
Well done, brilliant. Which Orient player got an additional one-match ban from the FA for deliberately getting booked against Southport in the FA Cup in 2013? Was it Vanselaar? Yeah, well done. OK, 2 out of 2. Who scored a hat-trick for the O's against Brighton Hove Albion in the league in February 1993?
OK, that was 93 in the league. Tony Richard scored that trick in the FA Cup. Hat trick for Orient in the league against Brighton.
At the Goldstone Ground, it was.
Oh, Ricky Otto.
Well done. Number four. How many of our league games in 1974-75 finished 0-0? You get a choice here. Was it 4, 6, 8, 10 or 12?
1974. That's
the year
we scored about
8
goals or something
in the
season. I'm
going to
go for
12. Correct. Who were the last team we defeated in our only season in the top flight on May the 2nd, 1963?
Well, I know that we beat West Ham and we beat Man United, and I think we beat Everton. I haven't a clue which was the last one. I'm going to say Everton.
No, it was Liverpool. We beat them 2-1 at home.
Liverpool. Okay, all right.
Okay, which former O's player managed the club between January and December 1965? Yeah, a bit before our time, but...
Yeah, it is. I'm just trying to think if it's sort of... And I don't even know if he played for the O's then, but Alex Stock?
No, he was in the 50s. It was Dave Sexton.
Dave Sexton.
Here we go. Another one with a choice. How many goals did the great Colin West score for the O's in league games during the 1995-96 season? Did he score 10, 12, 14, 16 or 18 goals?
Just a complete guess, I'll go 12.
No, he scored 16. That would have probably gone 12 as well, or 10. Who scored 16 league goals for the O's in the 1985-86 season?
85-86. So either Shinners or Jurius.
You've got to pick one for me.
85-86. I'm going to go... Oh, on, Jurius.
No, it was the other one, Shinners.
Oh.
Okay. Now we're going on to this question. Who launched the fanzine All Aboard the Wagon Train in September 1996?
So that would be Matt Porter.
Correct. And your final question is, name the goalkeeper who played for the O's 395 times between 1921 and 1931. Famous character.
Wood.
Got his first name?
George?
We'll give you it for Wood. It was Arthur Wood.
Arthur Wood.
Okay, so Lee, what was the...
Six.
Has he got six?
Yeah.
I thought it was Orphan, but there you go.
What? Started off on a flyer.
Yeah, no, yeah, right, yeah, six. Six out of ten. So we've now got you on six. So, well done. That was good. I thought you were going to fly through them, though. But you're lying second.
Jurius and Shinner's done me in.
Yeah. There's a good chance you can make the final because we're going to take the highest scores. And I think there'll be plenty of fours and fives flying around. So, thanks for taking part, Ian. I'll hand back over to Andy.
Thanks, cheers, Ian. Well, thanks for phoning in, mate. And we'll speak, no doubt, soon. And you never know. As Trevor said, you may well be in with a chance of the final. All right. So, we'll speak soon. Thanks for phoning in.
Thanks, Andy.
Tucker, tell him, mate. Right, that's what was it? Ian Richardson there, who rang in, got six. I went blank then who it was I was talking to. It's terrible, isn't it? Terrible. Right, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, so any other business that has cropped up this week, guys, that you can think of? We've got season ticket sales that are still going up and up, and obviously you need to get in there early because the discount has been extended, hasn't it? The early bird discount has been extended into this month, so you've still got time to get in there and get those.
The standard extension.
The standard extension, yeah. And you've got that...
I think 3,000 is quite good. I've not renewed yet, but I will do. I just get around to doing it. Always do it late for some reason, but... yeah, I'm quite impressed with that. I guess jacket has had a bit of a factor, and hopefully the government allow us all to go back. I mean, seeing the pictures from the Euros would have whetted the appetite for a lot of fans, I would have thought.
Well, you've got this crazy situation with, 140,000 going to be allowed at the motor racing, is it, 140,000? And we've got football clubs with limits of 2,000. I mean, just doesn't Any inconsistency, I mean, it's a crazy, long discussion
that, weren't we? I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it?
Well, £300 plus a ticket to get to the Grand Prix, I suggest the money talks if you're going to pay tenner to Harlow for a friendly, isn't it? You know what I mean? So
I know, but I mean, you're trying to get things sorted. How can you justify? I mean, is there anybody really that can turn around and say, you know, with any degree, how it is okay to have 140,000 at that sporting event,
but we'll never justify it. Nobody will ever justify it. Trevor's just hitting now on the head. It's about revenue, isn't it?
Well, that's crazy,
but you're never going to justify it.
Crazy situation. And but we've got what we've got, which is a limit of 2,000, as I say, and the club are doing it by ballot, which I guess is the only fair way they can do it, isn't it?
Well, they're troubled. They won't get 2,000 probably for the minor games, but the Tottenham game they may do, because the holiday season, when we all stay at home for the summer, is coming up, and that's just human nature. A friendly to a very poorly attended, in my opinion. I mean, I occasionally go to one if we're playing foreign opposition, like the Valladolids and New York Cosmos. They're the ones that I'm interested in, instead of Harlow and some minor 11 from West Ham and Tottenham turning up.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. We'll catch you all next week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks to Omar. Thanks to all our contestants. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. Hopefully, we'll see you all next week. Take care. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's the wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna be rocking all over the world again. In every corner of the ground, you can get your kids in just £5, get an orienteer. It's only a quid, get a cup of tea, but there ain't no lids, cos it's an Upton Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna wear rockin' all over the world again. '78, we had John Sitter, he's most irate. We were club reviver, but we don't care. We had Checker Shirtley and Chris Tate's hair. I remember the moment that Lee Spill scored. I remember it's done on the message board. I remember the pleasure, I remember the pain, and I wanna wear rocking all over the world again. This ain't Upton Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is St. Upton Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world. Till the end, if I thought you'd score, but I haven't seen a goal in God knows when, and I wanna wear rocking all over the world again. Cos this ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna wear rocking all over the world again. This ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna win.